Mountaintop faith is not made on the mountaintop. It might have been conceived there, initiated there, inaugurated there, but mountaintop faith is made in the valleys below. That's where it's forged. That's where it is developed. That's where it is galvanized. It's when we face those problems in the valley. It's easy to be holy on the mountaintop, but mountaintop faith is only found in the valleys.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We often hear about mountaintop faith, and most of us wish we had more of it. We may even beat ourselves up because we find ourselves spending a lot more time in the valley than on top of the mountain. But as you will see, it is in the valley that our faith becomes strong. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Mountaintop Faith.
Wow, thanks, Meliana. Thank you, Matthew. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing like that. Man. And I'm almost there. I turned 70. Heaven. Amazing. No, I tell you, we had a beautiful birthday party. Thank you to John and the team and a New Hope team that set it all up. And we had a wonderful time. But people would come and ask me, hey, Wayne, when you hit 70, do you like start to eat healthier now? And I said, no, at my age, I need all the preservatives I can eat. And they say, well, do you get smarter? I said, oh, absolutely. The older you get smarter. Because see, at 30, you worry about what everybody's thinking about you. At 50, you don't care what people think about you. And at 70, you discover nobody's thinking about you. Isn't that right? But you do get smarter. The story of this guy, he's hard of hearing. He hit 70 years old and got really hard of hearing and could hardly hear anything. And this had been going on for a couple of years. His family is concerned. And so they finally find out that it's a little teeny surgery and some hearing aids. And about 2-3 weeks later, he's having a lunch with a friend. And the friend says, how's your hearing? He says, it's perfect now. I can hear a pin drop across the room. And the friend goes, whoa, I bet your family is thrilled. He said, I haven't told them yet. He said, why? He said, I just sit around, listen to everybody's conversations. Why, in the last 2 weeks, I changed my will 3 times already. So you get smarter along the way. You really do. And I'm getting sassier too, you know. It reminds me of a pastor. He's talking to this elderly lady and he says, how you doing, honey? And she says, oh, I'm 82 and I'm sassy. He goes, what do you mean sassy? She said, I'm carousing with 4 men at a time now. 4 men. He goes, 4 at a time? She says, yeah. He goes, how's that? Every morning, she says, I wake up with arthritis. And then I go visit John and we spend a long time together. And in the afternoon, Charlie Horse comes and visits me all afternoon. But at night, I go to bed with Ben Gay. So it gets better and better. Well, I want to say thank you to the wonderful people of this church. And by the way, my wife is here, Anna. She's right here. Yeah, she's 98. And some old friends from Hilo are here. Wayne Santos, Obed Kipoli'i, and his wife, Chris. Welcome. And even Guy and Lori Higashi, you remember them? They're with us right over here, so it's good to have them, all of you. And but John, I want to say thank you. You know, I'm a bad planner for succession, and I struck out 4 times trying to find someone and hit a home run with John and Lanu. So thank you, John, for your wonderful leadership. Thank you for all that you do. Wonderful people. Now, remember, one of the things that's constant about New Hope is change. We change a lot because we're trying our best to follow the moving of the Holy Spirit. We might stumble and fumble, but I tell you, one of the things, can I encourage you? Just stay hungry. Stay hungry. Because we won't make all of the best business decisions. We'll make some mistakes. We're frail. We're fallen man. We make errors. But if you stay hungry for Jesus, you always come back to balance. You always come back to the middle. Because you see, if you lose your hunger, you start to stray, you drift. Stay hungry, and it's like a magnet that pulls you back to Calvary, pulls you back to the cross. That is very important. I tell people, look for PhDs when you're looking for leaders in the church. They go, what? Yeah, PhD stands for poor, hungry, and desperate people. Be poor, hungry, and desperate, because the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, they shall see God. So we want to see God. Can you say amen? I want more of him, more of him. So stay hungry. And another change is when Anna and I went to the West Coast, you know, we thought, oh man, this is not good. But then I thought, no, wait a minute. God is saying to expand the kingdom, not shrink it. Expand the kingdom. And so I thought, let's plant some churches on the West Coast and let's just do it together. So instead of Hawaii just going to Asia, which we did, and we planted a bunch of churches there, the other way needs a lot of help. So we thought, let's just expand both ways, not just one, and then stay together, though, as friends, that we're doing it together. Do church, capital C, as a team. At the birthday party, I was able to look backwards, and I saw that it included, the people included, the past, present, and to come. Past were the geezers, and then the present were a lot of just our friends, and then the future, all of the interns that were serving. And I thought, isn't that something? The present are people that used to be the future before. MJ or Aaron, my son, or some of the Chris Kyriakos, those were junior high kids when they came. And those were the future, but now they're the present. And we are moved as veterans, and then there's a new future. Past, present, and to come. And I thought, that's just like Jesus. Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about a mountaintop faith? A mountaintop faith. And you're going to find out something on this mountaintop that we're going to discover, that there's going to be an interesting twist in what we might understand as faith. But before we launch into that, let me tell you a funny story. A pastor was trying his best to work up his faith so that God would hear his prayers. And he was praying and praying. What he really needed was a power mower, a lawn mower, because he had just bought a house and his grass was growing thick. And he didn't have enough money to buy a brand new one. So, Lord, I just really need you to provide a lawn mower for me. And while he gets in his car, just about two blocks down the road, there's a garage sale. So he thought, wow, on a lark, he just pulls in, and there's a power mower for sale that was affordable right there in the front. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. And the guy sells it to him. He puts it in his car, goes home. But when he pulls the rope, he pulls and pulls and pulls, and the thing doesn't start. His arm is starting to get sore, and he's a little bit frustrated. So he leaves the power mower, gets in his car, goes back to the garage sale guy, and the guy must not be a Christian, because he said, hey, your power mower doesn't start. How do you get it to start? And the guy said, well, you got to cuss at it. He goes, what? He said, yeah, every time mine doesn't start, I just cuss at it. It starts. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm a minister, and it's been so long since I've cussed, I've forgotten how to cuss. And the guy says, well, you just go back home, keep pulling on that rope. In about 5 minutes, it'll all come back to you. Sometimes even our faith kind of drains out and leaks when we hit the rough spots, don't we? When we're pulling on the rope and it doesn't do anything, we're pulling on the prayers of heaven, pulling on the toga of Jesus, and nothing's happening. We can get frustrated. We can get upset and just lapse backwards. Today we want to find out that it doesn't only happen to us. We're going to find out that it happened to some of the best of the disciples, three of the core disciples, Peter, James, and John. They're going to find out that faith is not necessarily always found in a mountaintop experience. But we're going to read about it. What's happening right now in the book of Mark is we're going to find that Jesus takes these three guys up on a mountaintop. There he's going to be transfigured. Big word, transfigured before them. The word transfigured means his visage is transformed. And it says he became like light, blazing light, brightest of lights. And all of a sudden, they could only see like a sun. It was just so bright. You know, it's interesting. I think for the first time, the disciples saw God in human form, Jesus, but in the visage that he truly was. Because the Bible says God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. It's probably one of the first times that mankind has seen God in who he really was, light. That's why in the Old Testament, they said, you cannot look upon God and stay alive. Just blinds you, it messes you up. Ah, so maybe for the first time, they really saw that Jesus was God on earth. Ah, you know, it's funny. Sometimes people say, hey, Wayne, scientists say that the earth is millions and millions of years old. But your Bible says God created everything in like 6 days and rested on the seventh. How's that? Well, you know, a lot of times we try to measure God with the same measuring tape that man uses for wood and houses and building and carpentry. You never use human measurements to measure God. You can't time God by your clock and your timepieces. Oh, no. As high as the heavens are above the earth, the Bible says, so are my ways above man's ways, so are my thoughts above yours. You can't use measuring tape made by man to measure an eternal creator. Doesn't work. That's why we get so confused. Now watch this. If God is light, watch, light moves at 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast it moves. Very fast. Now, watch how I'm going to blink, right? Blink. That's, and the time it took me to blink at the speed of light, there you go. I will have gone around the world 7 times already. That fast. So watch this. If God is indeed light, he can actually, in what would take us 1 million years, he could do it in about 10 minutes. Because he's moving not at our speed, but at the speed of light. So though with our measuring tape, it's 10 million years, 50 million years. The Lord says, I did that in 2 days. So the Bible says, when it says God created the world in 6 days, believe it. But don't use your measuring tape to figure it out. Just believe it. And one day when you get to heaven, you'll go, oh. Yeah, because you see, scientists say that mankind, humans, use only 4% of their brain. Do you know that? And I have some cousins that even is a stretch, I'm gonna tell you. On the Portuguese side. And if we use only 4% of our brain, how in the world can we figure out God who is eternal? And if God is light, he can see the past as well as the future. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You see, one of the characteristics of light is this. If you have a huge, strong telescope and you see a planet that's 100 light years away, it means that it takes light 100 years traveling at 186,000 miles per second to reach your eyeball in that telescope. So that's 100 light years away. If it's 1,000 light years away, by the time that light on that planet reaches your eye through the telescope, that was light that was reflected 100 years ago. You're just getting it. That's how far away it is. So if you see a comet hit that planet, boom, in the telescope, whoa, do you know what just happened? No, that happened 100 years ago. You're seeing history. And if God is light, you understand how he can see into the past and see into your future? And we say, how can he do that? Oh, Moses and Elijah are about to appear on this mountain before this God of light. He is seeing stuff that happened hundreds of years ago, and he can see it now. It's in the present. That's why the Bible says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, and Jesus Christ is God in all of his glory. Oh, we're starting to understand. Now the disciples are about to experience this mountaintop epiphany with Jesus. Let's read about it. Would you take out your notes and let's read together? Go. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, And a voice came out of the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except... Oh, take a look at this experience that those three had. They saw God in Jesus in his transfigured form, light. And then the past became the present. Like, this is crazy. And Jesus showed that only to those three. Pretty amazing. They were on a mountaintop and they were filled with glory. This is so cool. You know, I thought about that. And I was thinking about times like this because our worship is so amazing. And by the way, I travel to all kinds of churches, and our worship team here has got to be one of the best this side of the Mississippi. Man. Fantastic. But I was thinking, as wonderful as our experience is here, and I call this church service like a mountaintop experience, where you really experience God. As wonderful as this is, let me tell you the most important part of the service. As beautiful as the worship is, that's not the most important part. As wonderful as the teaching might be, not the most important part. By the way, thank you to the five the teachers that teach here, Ty Tamasaka, Richard, Paul Brown, John, and Scott. Thank you. You have great teachers. You really do. Please tell them thank you. And I've been listening online to, you know, different ones. John needs help in his humor. But other than that, they are doing so well. And John, I've seen a pastoral mantle on you just increase and increase over the year. So thank you. But, you know, as wonderful as all of that is, that's not the most important part. Want to know the most important part of every service? Is when you and I leave those doors. Because therein will lie the experiences that Jesus will actually put into reality of what you just catch here in vision or in inspiration or an encouragement. We have to live it out there. That's the most important part of the service, is when you leave the doors. Think about it. They were so enthralled in this experience on the mountaintop, they said, we're just going to stay here. We're going to build a house. One for each of you. We're going to live in three houses. We're going to stay right here. Isn't that sometimes the truth of what goes on here at church? We just want to keep going. Just keep going. We want to build a freeze-dry this time here. Just build a shelter right here. Have lunch and dinner and just stay here. Stay and bask in the presence of God. All of a sudden, whoo, a cloud comes over. The Father speaks. This is my son. Listen to him. Okay, we'll listen to him. Whoo. Cloud goes away. What does Jesus say? Let's go down the hill. Let's go down the mountain. Well, when they followed Jesus and went down the mountain, there was a demon-possessed boy that the disciples were trying to cast this demon out of. Remember that? Being thrown into the fire. And then the other disciples jumped in. They're all trying their hand at it. None of them could do it. And it was almost like Jesus said, how long must I be with you? Don't you understand what you got on the mountaintop? See, listen carefully. Here was the problem with the disciples then and still with disciples today. The disciples were not able to translate the lessons on the mountaintop to the problems in the valley below. Somewhere along the line, it leaked. And the same is true with us. It's when we leave those doors, the question is, can I translate the lessons and the encouragement and the inspiration on this mountaintop to the problems in the valley below? Because I need to break it to you. In a little while, you got to go home. You got to go home to the same family, same kids, same problems, same pilau neighbor, same workplace, same school, same campus, same roommate, same stress, same struggles. The question is, can you translate what we are getting here into the valleys below? Or do we leak? the inspiration that the Holy Spirit just fills us with. I watch people. There's a window up there by my office, and I watch them. They go out. It's like, psh, they start leaking. I thought, what? Yeah, a dad will get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car to the kids, you know. Shut up. Get in the car. And it's like he's looking around. Is any of the pastors watching me? No. Okay, get in the car. Close the door. You go, shut up. Wife, stop following. Get in the car right now. Close the door. You know, it's like, what? And the wife will say, honey, the pastor just gave us a sermon on being kind. And the husband goes, I am kind. I'm kind of miffed. That's what I am. Get in the car, you know. And it's like, we all leak. How many of you agree with me? Raise your hand. How many of you leak? The rest of you lying. You need repentance. But we all leak. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. What they were so enthralled with on the mountaintop, they could not translate to the valley below. All of us are going to have to go home. And so the Holy Spirit will give us such... By the way, it's so easy, isn't it, to be nice in church, to be holy here? Yeah, you come here, they give you free coffee, they give you a hug, they give you free donuts, everything free, right? They give you free malasadas. No, they don't give you that over here. John, you don't give them free malasadas. No. You give them anything free. Nothing. See, he gives you free giving envelopes. That's what he gives you. It's free. Paquet, that's why. But you take a look at that, and it's not hard to be nice in church. You don't hear dirty jokes. You don't hear questionable humor, unless I'm telling a joke. But you don't hear any of that. So we feel really kind, really holy, really righteous. Most important part of the service is when we go out those doors. What will happen then? Because therein lies, here it is, the secret. You want to know what it is? Listen carefully. Mountaintop faith is not found on the mountaintop. It's only found in the valleys below. Mountaintop faith is not made on the mountaintop. It might have been conceived there, initiated there, inaugurated there, but mountaintop faith is made in the valleys below. That's where it's forged. That's where it is developed. That's where it is galvanized. It's when we face those problems in the valleys. Will that which we learn on the mountaintop be translated? And by the way, that's mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith is found in the valleys, not on the mountaintop. It's easy to be holy on the mountaintop. But mountaintop faith is only found in the valleys. And by the way, heaven is looking for men and women with mountaintop faith. But I got to break it to you. When you leave those doors, it's not going to be easy. No, and it's not going to get any easier. Because in the world today, the current is going against you. The wind is blowing against you. And we have to be willing to represent Jesus regardless of the consequences, regardless of what the world says. It had to happen with Joseph when he was sold into Egypt. Do you remember that? And Mrs. Potiphar said, come here, big boy. And he must have been a good-looking guy because she just was alluring him. And he spoke to her and said, no, I can't. I can't sin against God. Not going to do it. Even though he knew rejecting her would mean prison. So I can't do it. Do you know the consequences? Can't do it. Not going to do it. And so he gets thrown in prison because he had to stand against the current. Regardless of the consequences, there's going to be times you're going to be serving God and the consequences will be negative. And you're going to say, what? What's the use of serving God? You don't want to see God as a genie in a lamp. You want to see him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, regardless of the consequences. Because it wouldn't be more than just a few years that God would raise Joseph up to be an influencer to his generation. Amen. Happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down to my statue. And they said, we can't. The God whom we serve is God. So are you kidding? Do you know the consequences of this? See that fire, that furnace? You're going to be crispy critters. We're throwing you in. And then they said, watch this. The God who we serve is able to deliver us. And then they said something that just will blow your mind. They said, and even if he does not, we will still serve him. Do you understand the mountaintop faith that God's looking for in a Joseph, in a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And God says, there's mountaintop faith. Watch what I'm about to do.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Mountaintop Faith by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
It's when we face those problems in the valley. It's easy to be holy on the mountaintop, but mountaintop faith is only found in the valleys.
For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you as you make your way through the valley to the mountaintop that lies ahead. Aloha.